Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment. What possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Beth from Mountain View.
Hello, Beth. What are you seeing?
Wow. Well.
Wow, a lot.
Yeah. What was really fun was I played catch up again because I kind of fell behind. And going through kind of that first stage of, you know, finding out the identities and getting the conversations and the stories and everything like that, what was so fascinating was I had picked overindulging. Just eating more than, you know, my body was comfortable with.
The American way.
Say again?
It's the American way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You go out to eat and a plate of food is put in front of you that, you know, some folks could eat on for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and there's a real sense of can't waste food. You know, need to finish the plate, all of that kind of 1950s, I guess, sort of stuff. And, or at least that's what I attribute to. In any case, what I came up with is a bunch of identities that were just focused on eating more. And it wasn't until I got to the duality question that I went, oh my gosh, I don't have any dualities. And that's when I finally saw it. Oh, there's the whole self-hate that comes in afterwards, you know, with the judgment of you're such a glutton, you know, what a pig, you can't eat that much, and now you got to go on a cleanse. Now you got to go on a fast.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now you have to be punished.
Yeah.
Deprived. Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a duality, isn't it?
Yeah. It was funny, though, that I didn't see that right, you know, I didn't have any dualistic voices. It was kind of when that prompt came up, you know, what voices are missing? And I'm like, well, what voices are missing? And one of the missing voices was, no, I really like to eat. And it was like, wait a minute, that's the same story.
Uh-huh. And so what you're pointing out is a really important principle for us to catch on to. A duality doesn't need to be paired immediately. Right? So it's not, I want to do that. Well, you shouldn't. You know, that's an easy duality to catch on to.
Right.
But when it's indulge, oh, it's so good. Oh, it tastes so good. You really enjoy food. You really like to eat. It's such a pleasure. And then after X period of time of that comes the, you are such a disgusting pig, the other side of the duality. So the other piece that you caught on to is the solution, which would never be presented as part of a duality, right? Because fasting is good for you. Cleansing is good for you. That's the way to take care of your body. It would never be presented as deprivation or punishment.
Wow. I don't think I saw that. That's amazing. Yeah, exactly. It's not a way of saying that I'm taking care of myself to moderate or to take a few days off of enjoying, you know, all the food that I love to enjoy. And in fact, when you say that, now that you say that, it reminds me that when I did the what are the possibilities were really enjoying the sensation of hunger.
Uh-huh. And the word that you just used, moderation.
Yes.
Really enjoying an amount of food that's good for the human being.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was another one of the possibilities that had dropped in. And then another possibility that dropped in, which I really enjoyed, was eat with my eyes.
Mm.
To enjoy something by just seeing it and going, yes, I know that is a wonderful food, and I can have the sense of enjoyment without eating it.
Right. Yes. Or the one that I've always enjoyed, which is I could enjoy one bite of that, because the only bite that I'm ever going to recall is the last one, right?
Yes. So, that is such a great, yes, exactly. Uh-huh. That's such a great way to say that part.
All right. Well, thank you. That's a lot to see.
Great. Well, thank you both.
Glad you caught up.
Yep, me too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow. That was a fabulous conversation, right, Terry? Because everybody's experience offers us so many principles we can use to see something about the process of suffering, right? That dualities are not always presented immediately, that there's a time lag, and so you don't recognize that you are one, or that the duality is not always this or that. It could be this, not this, which is so much more of a subtle reality to catch on to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The absence of one of something is still a duality.
Yes. Oh, that is subtle.
A negation is a duality, because it's life, not life. Not life doesn't, you know, you don't catch on to the other half of it because it's not there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how the duality is presented.
Yeah. Well, and with this, you know, one of the things that we know about aspects of the personality that's so hard to catch on to is that when I'm in the I just love to eat food and I eat a lot personality, that other person is not anywhere to be seen. I'm just identified with that perspective. And then when that perspective is satisfied and goes away, here comes the opposite of that, the not that or the other than that. And now I'm that person. And so there's really no awareness of what that previous person says, does, feels, anything else. Because this is who I am, right? And when we're in an aspect of the personality, this is who I am. There isn't anybody else. Yeah.
Yes, and then as soon as we step into what are the possibilities, there are so many, and each of them is such a wonderful way to practice. So I practice moderation. What does that even mean, right? That the level of presence that is required to be present to how much I want to eat that's good for the body, or that one that I love that you just suggested, which is I take a bite, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so it puts us in touch with how much we get driven by the addiction of the voices in
and the unconsciousness
in the practice of restraint. Almost anybody would rather abstain than take a bite, because there is that experience that once you take the bite, you're hooked. You'll not be able to stop that process from taking over. Right.
Yeah.
And what a lovely thing to practice with. And that other place of I'm gonna practice with my eyes, eating with my eyes, which is such an important practice, that just because it's a process place, right? That I'm excited about something, that doesn't mean I have to do it. I can live in the excitement.
Yes.
That ability to be in the experience of the process rather than in the action, which is supposed to give me the experience that I'm already having.
Oh, there is so much in that. And it goes so far beyond food, doesn't it? That is that is something for us to watch in every moment of our life. And what this particular conversation is pointing out is how utterly, absolutely, and completely this whole thing is awareness practice. That's what we're closing in on. Being present, paying attention, being in awareness every moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever it is
we're doing, and food is certainly a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer. What are you seeing?
Hey. Well, the thing I'm just... I guess I'm surprised by, it keeps showing up on all these topics, is just not trusting. Like, I, like, a, well, the nasty voice says, you can't be trusted with food. You just can't be trusted. But there's also this life can't be trusted, being in the moment can't be trusted, being present
can't be trusted.
Oh, just nobody can be trusted except ego, who has to, you know, control everything.
So that there are always problems that it needs to control.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently I'm one of the problems that needs.
Oh, you are the primary problem. Let's face it. you are the something wrong in this world.
I am, and I just certainly cannot be trusted, it says.
No,
and,
no.
I was having a hard time imagining, like, well, what, you know, exactly. I mean, I can see several dualities. There's, you know, I want to eat when I want to eat, and you can't tell me what to do. And then there's someone who says, obviously, you can't be trusted. You have to be controlled. And that's there, but I don't know where the duality with the trusted part is, or I'm not quite seeing it.
Well, maybe it's not a duality.
Well, there's a thought.
Yeah. So if you are present, if you are at center, there wouldn't be a duality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you could be trusted.
Right.
But there wouldn't be anybody to trust you, because you would just be being.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's
that's a fun one, isn't it?
Yes. Just step off to the side of that trust or not trust.
Mm-hmm. Get off that train, and yeah. And of course, this is essential, right? This is the heart of the deal, because as long as ego can keep us in any kind of duality, so all those that you mentioned, right? So I want to eat when I want to eat. You can't tell me what to do. Nobody can make me. But I want it. No, you can't have it. You're such a pig. All of those are ego. They're just different ego voices, right?
Right.
You step back, which you already have, or you couldn't see them, right? You step back and realize that whole trust, can't be trusted conversation is just another ego duality. And where are you seeing that from? Well, center.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
It is. It's much bigger than ego was ever even afraid that you would get to. This is a panic moment for ego. Right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. Because trust, you know, trust just covers so many. You can't be trusted with money. You can't be trusted.
Right.
Right? You can't be trusted with anything. And so now, whoa! This is definitely threatening to ego. So watch closely. Yeah, watch closely. It's gonna try to backlash you.
Yeah, I expect so. Okay. Great. Well,
thanks, Jennifer. Bye
bye. Bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. I was seeing something really subtle there, right, Cherry? That when we are at center, the way that it's what we call a process looking for content, that ego is looking for a duality in order for us to look for a duality and move out of our experience of actually not being an ego.
Yeah. Yes. So if it can hook us into letting it do the observing,
mm-hmm.
which it's good at, right? Because it's watching us all the time and judging and commenting. So if it can accomplish that, then now, as you say, there's ego in control and it's on the lookout for a content that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're pointing at?
Yes, exactly.
That is subtle.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well,
hello. Hello, hi. Hello to everyone.
what are you seeing?
I'm seeing lots of things. There's a couple of things. I'm seeing how layered things are, and how can you hear me okay?
How what?
Can you hear me okay? Because it's just a little bit fuzzy my end, but can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. There were two things, but and I'm seeing how I'm told something, even when I'm looking really deeply, and then I realize that it's not true. And it's really subtle, and so it's just everything that I think that I'm seeing, I'm just doing that extra, oh, is that so, you know, is that, do you know, yeah.
Oh, and it's so important, isn't it, because what you're pointing at is that ego learns the lingo of practice. Right?
Yeah.
And so it can mimic the voice of what we would think of as the mentor or clarity or whatever, right?
And it
talks to you in this, once you recognize it, kind of a creepy voice of, well, yeah, it's fine, you know, because what's happening is that, yeah?
Yeah, so, that's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, so, and that's really interesting, really exciting to see that.
Well, it is, because it's subterranean, isn't it? So, what's going on here is that blah, 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 blah. You know, for a long time, we go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's, wait a minute, how do I know that that's true? Is that so? Is that what's really? Because that's a voice in my head. It sounds like a nice voice in my head, but it's still a voice in my head talking to me. So maybe that's, I haven't hit bedrock here.
Yeah. And very briefly, that what I've been working on is having treats in quotes. And what's really interesting, and a couple of other people have said this, I've just been doing the exercises and being taken straight directly to childhood, which is incredible. And also sort of linking a bit wider general treats. So when I was a child, toys and things like that. And what I'm seeing is that was love. So I was getting love. And then when I was a little bit older, teenage years, then it became food, so that was treats. So that's really interesting, and I get so much love now, so that's just been really fun to see. And
so starting to see that the treats are actually unnecessary. It's not that they're bad. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that it's presented as something it isn't. It is no longer love, because you have love everywhere.
So I'm still doing that now, and I don't need to be.
Right. That's so important. We have to catch up, right? Because as you say, I'm glad you're saying this, because the retreat, I wish you could come and join us. The retreat that we're getting ready to do in Pennsylvania is all about exactly what you've put your finger on.
So it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, we can talk about our childhood and tell all these stories about our childhood, but we don't realize exactly the thing that you have realized, which is I'm still seeing treats and acting that, living that out in my life in a way that is irrelevant at this point, right? It's something that I haven't seen. I haven't recognized the connection.
So that's great. And as I said earlier, it's just seeing things a bit deeper, which does bring clarity.
I think you can drop bit
out of
all
that.
Right.
Okay, this is not a bit deeper.
This
is really deeper.
Yeah.
So
it's
is
been
that
wonderful.
So? Is that so?
Yes.
It's just a, oh, really? Well, huh. Okay, well, you know, I'm not here to believe things. So I'm happy to pay attention to that, but really, is that actually? Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, wonderful.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone. Go happy. Thank you.
Go Gasho. Happy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. Wow. Sherry, it does. It's when you state it that way, it sounds so obvious that it's not true, that a treat equals love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think to unwind all of the things that got put together are not actually related,
mm-hmm.
It's a lifetime process because of the subtle ways in which content has come together around the same process, performance and value. Or love and doing what
performance
someone else
and value.
Wants you to do. That's right. Yes. Yeah. It's amazing how that happens and how universally it happens and how individually and specifically it happens for each of us.
Yeah.
And seeing it is the first thing, and then unwinding that is the next.
Yeah.
Well, is such a valuable way to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this. I hope this isn't awful, but I just saw when you were talking about that we know how to train an animal, right? And the reason we know how to train an animal is because that's how we were trained.
Mm, yeah,
we were trained with treats, just like you train your dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Sobering.
Yes. Talk about creepy.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling in Durham.
Hello, Andrea. What you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing that there is a voice that I'm always hearing, I'm hungry all the time. And so, you know, I've actually been writing all this down, looking into it, recording and listening around this, even inviting my husband to chime in. And so anyhow, I'm doing a lot of looking, and it just seems like there's always a sensation, or not always, but a lot of the time, a sensation of hunger and needing and feeling like I need to eat, and it's kind of this duality of I'm hungry and I need to eat, but I don't want to get obese. And so that's what I'm seeing. And so I don't know if the hunger is you know, it's egocentric karmic conditioning or it's actually a signal for my body. I guess I'm not even sure anymore, but it certainly seems real, especially, you know, when it gets, like, there's hunger and hunger, and, like, sometimes it's, like, really, really hungry, and, you know, I feel like I don't feel good, like I need to eat. Other times it's just a lesser hunger, but it seems like I experience hunger a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the first thing that occurs to me when you say that is, and you mentioned egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, that's in Buddhism, of course, that's referred to as a hungry ghost. So that insatiable desire to be fulfilled that can't be because it's an insatiable desire. It's not something that we can fulfill, but we're meant to be attempting to feed that hungry ghost all the time with, you know, all sorts of content. And so, good. That you're looking in this way so that you can begin to get a sense of whether this is something that is mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is what we want to have our awareness practice assist us with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like, I mean, it seems like it's physical. I mean, I feel, you know, the sensation kind of in my solar plexus and in my stomach, and, you know, and then if I wait too long to eat, then, you know, I'll feel kind of like lightheaded. And so it seems like, I don't know. So the belief is I have an excessive appetite.
You have a what?
Excessive appetite, like, uh-huh. Or excessive, that I'm much hungrier than quote normal people. There's this, you know, like maybe I have some that's my story, that maybe I have some physiological condition or something.
Well, you know, it might be worth finding out. You know, you don't want to have some sort of, I'm not going to go into it because that is too creepy, but, you know, things in your body that are causing you to process food more quickly or not receiving the nutrients from the food. That's, you know, apparently one of the things that happens. If people are unable to receive the nutrients from the food, the body will attempt to keep on eating until it gets the nutrients that it needs. So looking at what you're eating, when you're eating, how you're eating. And the thing, of course, that's interesting to me is you use the word obese, which says to me you're gaining weight from the eating. Is that true?
Well, actually, no. So, I mean, there's a fear that if I eat as much as my body seems to want to eat, that I'll be obese. That's the fear.
Uh-huh.
So I'm fine. I'm not obese at all. You know, I'm fine. I look fine. It's just that
That's the duality, right?
Yes.
I'm hungry. I want to eat. I'm hungry. I want to eat. No, you can't eat. You're going to get fat. No, you can't eat. You're going to get fat. I want to eat. I'm hungry. I need to eat. Yeah.
And we used to have this. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, in our family, we used to have this joke because it seems like it's a family thing of excessive hunger. Like I inherited it from my great grandfather, because my earliest memories is when he was really, I was maybe three, he was like 85, and he would go to these smorgasbords, what they call them, and just layer his plate with stuff and eat it all and never get fat. But I mean, so it's kind of a family joke like that. We all have this excessive appetite. So I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not sure with it. But
well, I have an idea for you. Would you email me?
Sure.
Okay. Email me. We'll have a little conversation. All right.
Okay. Sounds
good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Jerry, we have a couple more minutes. I think not enough time for a full conversation with another person, or would you like to squeeze someone in?
Let's try it. We'll go fast.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Hello, Pasha. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm so glad to get online. I'm reintegrating back to after the visiting monk retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a...
And catching up with this class. And
yes. Oops. And food topic came up several times as it... very different in outside of the monastery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I see a lot of kind of ego projections into like I cannot do it myself. Like the same as a monastery, cook every day and support healthy eating habits and so on. But what I'm not seeing is just a story, and I'm at you know, over the years made a great progress of learning how to eat healthy and making healthy choices, and also learning how to cook. And this visit, I learned not learned, but I participated in making bread, which was amazing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so what I'm hearing Pasha, is that you're practicing moving from I can't do this, it's too much, to I actually know how to do this, I'm going to do the best that I can.
Yes, I'm a beginner, and I'm learning, and I'm making a step, and I don't need any voice of discouragement saying how I'm not yet there as a monastery cook, you know, making these fabulous meals for, you know, like lots of people and changing recipes every day. And by the way, the menu is amazing, and it's changing, and it's like, wow. So Deepika Shaw, it's not only support a person on a retreat or while in a monastery, it's also huge role modeling kind of learning resource, you know, from like how to conserve the water, how to cook mindfully, and how not to be overwhelmed and do one task at a time.
All good practices for wherever we are. Because again, what you're saying is paying attention, right? Bringing awareness to everything that we're doing instead of those negative voices in the head.
Yes, paying attention to this current thing, you know, like conditioning tries to get me that I need to pay attention to everything and what's the big picture and where am I in the progress and so on. But in reality, it's, you know, like one, you know, here's what's in front of me. And if I do that, things will be just fine.
Yes. Yes. And one thing before I let you go, which is being with him like that is probably does as much for him as the choices for healthy food. To live in loving kindness and support probably does as much for our good health as all of the other things that we do combined.
Yes, and it's such an intimate relationship. Being with him, one tiny step, it feels to me like I'm carrying a child in my hands. So like I used to have a baby, you know, years ago, and I carry him close to my body. Now I'm making one step and carrying Pasha somehow, Pasha baby or whatever,
in your heart.
Is in my heart. Yes.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Pasha. Yeah. Great to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. Gusho.
Yes. Gusho.
Thanks, Pasha. Oh, that was, I'm so glad we decided to take that last conversation, Cherry.
Me too.
And here's our assignment for today. Self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear about this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hate messages. Example, there's something wrong with the person who chooses unhealthy over healthy. Self-hate often speaks in you voices, addressing us as you. Record what you're seeing.
All right. Exciting part of the program. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.
Go happy.
Go happy.